Life can be an extraordinary adventure. More than ordinary. In the gym. At home. At work. More than ordinary. Advice. Without the new agey bullshit.
You know how sometimes you have an idea of how you want something done? Like how you would have your living room decorated, your closet organized, or whatever. But you just haven't had the time to get around to it because the way it is right now is passable and it works. But in the back of your head, you know it could be better someday. Well, for Spirit Lake the Game, someday is today. At Seven Generation Games, we've rolled out a major update of our very first game. We've kept the parts that were already great and enhanced those areas where we saw potential for enhancements to give you a new version of the game that we know kids will love even more than the original. If you already have Spirit Lake, check your email for the update notification. If you don't have Spirit Lake, well, what are you waiting for? Get it today. Welcome to More Than Ordinary, presented by Seven Generation Games. I'm Maria Burns-Ortiz.
And I'm Anne-Marie DeMars, and we have with us today another amazing guest.
Joseph DiCristoforo.
And you must be Italian.
Yes, I am. Italian-American.
So we're going to just dive right in. Now, one of the things I know about you is Marisol Castillo-Schultz, who books our podcast guest, said, I listen to his podcast, and got to get this guy, he's so interesting. And you do a podcast called Joe's Daily History Lesson.
Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson.
Right. And My first question is, are you nuts? Because you do a daily podcast? I mean, we would have trouble getting one out a week.
It took me a long time to gather it together. I did all the writing and all the recording, editing myself. So it did drive my wife a little bit bonkers for a while because I was always going out to the tool shed. In the backyard. And by the way, I call it a tool shed because if I call it a man cave, then I lose my privilege for using that room. So it's a technicality, but I like calling it a tool shed because, well, it does have this, which is a very powerful tool.
Do you have tools in your tool shed?
I got my computer and I got all my recording equipment and it's great.
So how did it even start? You just decided, I'm going to do a podcast on history. Where did this idea come from, and then how did it become what it is today?
I kind of morphed into it. I was always interested, and I think when I was 6 years old, I picked up my first microphone. And I started out in radio, actually. I left college to pursue that career in the early 90s. I worked for a rock station up in Northern California called 99.9 KRFD for 4 years. And from there, I met a friend who had a radio station in Oakland, California. And when I was at KRFD, the old program manager, his name was Andy Ambert. I'll never forget this guy, he was terrific. And he said to me one day, he said, Stryker, because my last name was Stryker, it's another long story. I want you to do a heavy metal show. Call it the Electric Chair or something like that. And I thought, how great of a name is that for a heavy metal show? So I started doing that. And then, as I said, I met a friend who had a station in Oakland, where I played it there for about 20 years because the internet had kind of taken over radio and became that forum, that format. And then after the 9/11 attacks, I started turning 30 and adulthood started creeping in. I started rethinking, you know, my whole strategy because heavy metal just has never been a big money maker. And I got a lot to talk about. So it slowly started going into more politics than I got into debate, and then I decided, instead of debating, why don't I just come up with a forum where I can just present the facts and let the listener decide on what they want to come to the table with and get their opinion. So the reason why I do the history show is because it's a good format for people to come together and have an open discussion on whatever topics I'm bringing up in an intelligent fashion, hopefully.
Well, one, that explains why you have such a better radio voice than us.
Thank you.
But two, so you said, okay, I'm going to do this podcast on history. Or was it initially when you started to sit down and do the podcast, did you think I'm going to do these kind of, what I really like about it is it's little history segments and kind of you can, it's almost like a Law and Order where you can watch one or you can watch a whole bunch, you know?
Right.
Where did that idea come from and how did it evolve over the years from when you started the podcast?
Well, I mean, I do have a little ADD, and I'm left-handed, and I'm an Aries, so my attention span is limited. And it makes it easy for me to jump around from topic to topic to topic, which I like doing. And I think a lot of people like doing that anyway. I was actually inspired by one of those history calendars and also by other websites I would go to and see there's a lot of interesting facts I can talk about not just presidents and wars, but also getting back to the invention and getting back to the ingenuity that Americans have. And I think that's what really attracted me to this. And I was hearing a lot of people speak negatively about America. And so for me, this is a way to get back to what are some of the things that we really contribute to the world. And let's not forget these things. And there are so many, it is impossible to count on one show or two.
Which gets to my question, there's a lot of history out there. You know, even if you restrict it to the U.S., there's a lot of U.S. history out there. And even if you say, oh, I'm just going to do 4 minutes on what happened on this day in history, how do you pick those 4 minutes? Because that's still a very broad range of things.
Yes. From the Revolution to the Civil War, to presidents, to patents and inventions, to the automotive industry, to entertainment and sports, aeronauts, the list does go on and on, you're right. And so I don't know what makes me come up with an actual story. I think I just want to highlight on one and talk about as my main story, and then go on to a couple other fun ones.
And one of the things that I think people who don't do podcasts don't think about is how much time goes into making them. So, you know, you have a 4 or so minute segment. How much time do you put into the prep, and how long does it actually take you to do it?
It took me from start to finish probably about 3 hours to do one day. And that's by the time I actually start writing it. And everything is written in my own words, by the way, which I'm very proud of because that took me a long time to do. So probably on average, because some are quicker than others. And then the recording usually goes pretty quickly, as well as the editing. So probably about 3 hours per day.
Now, anybody who listens to this podcast knows that I'm the world's worst when it comes to popular culture. Like, Murray always makes fun of me for sitting next to somebody who, like, won the Super Bowl a couple of times and asking him if he was a heavyweight in the UFC. So if you're mega famous and, you know, did 47 movies and you're retired on your royalties, I am apologizing in advance. But what else do you do? Is this what you podcast and then you surf all day, or what else
Oh, no. See, I'm an IT guy, actually, by trade. And also, my wife is a real estate agent. I'm a real estate investor, junior. So I'm learning into getting into other avenues to make some real money, because there's not a whole lot of money in free downloads, unfortunately.
What? I thought this was Maria. You told me this is how we were going to make our first $100 million.
I'm actually a system administrator for the Navy down in San Diego, and I've been doing that for quite a while. It's treated my family very well as far as putting food on the table is concerned. So this is more of a hobby.
Yeah, and I was, but sometimes I think some of the best podcasts come from these, you know, passion projects or these side projects. And so I think that's what is really great about yours. Is that you seem very excited and interested in what you're talking about. And so it kind of pulls people in. And I was wondering, you know, have you always been interested in U.S. history? Or you talked a little bit about how kind of you came to the podcasting. But what was it about, you know, okay, this is the topic that I'm going to tackle?
Again, this comes back to just appreciating everything that America has really contributed to the world. And there's so much of it that I see. Everything from jeans to rock and roll to the swivel chair, the vacuum cleaner, the microwave, baseball, NASCAR, Star Wars, the television, the transistor, Google, the computer. So, you know, I really like talking about all these things. And there are certain speeches that I really like to highlight. For instance, Reagan's speech to Gorbachev to tear down the wall actually brings tears to my eyes to this day. That's probably my favorite one. But there's so many other great speeches from Martin Luther King to Abraham Lincoln. The list goes on and on.
My favorite speech, in case anybody listening is wondering, is from Sojourner Truth, where she says, "Ain't I a woman?" And I love that. Have you heard it?
I don't believe I've done a story on that, but I promise you I'll do it as soon as I get back to San Diego.
Yes. Sojourner Truth was an African-American woman who had been a slave. And at the Seneca Women's Rights Convention, they were talking about some man got up and said how, you know, we can't, women don't need the vote because they need to be taken care of and helped into carriages and have your cloak laying down across puddles for them. And she got up and talked about how, you know, she gave birth to 11 children and they were all torn away from her and nobody heard her cry but Jesus, and ain't I a woman, and how nobody ever helped me into carriages and I worked in the fields alongside every man and bore the lash just as well, and ain't I a woman. And she went through it. Yes, so that's one of the things that just gives me chills, because
I should know about this speech.
Yeah, it's very famous. If I heard, I'm not a big history buff, so if I heard about it, it must be famous. Sort of like pop culture. If I've heard of you, you must be big.
And that's the thing. Of course, I can't cover every single thing. But when you bring this to my attention, then it brings out my curiosity, and so I'm going to want to pursue that and talk about it.
Well, I like your idea, though, of focusing on stuff that's kind of been good in history, though not all of it, like that thing you did on Jackson, just writing off all the money owed to the banks. I thought was pretty hilarious.
Right.
So I don't know if that was good, but it was interesting.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool. So I think that's kind of a good perspective. And we were talking with Dean Dufresne when he was on here about how the fact is everybody has a perspective, just not everybody sure. admits it. And he's, right. you know, we were talking about the games that we make and how they come from history, from a Native American perspective or a Latin American perspective, like Fish Lake is back before the Europeans came here. This is how the Native Americans lived. And Dean said when he was studying history, you know, for his degree, that most of the history he learned in school was, yeah, we got here and there's some people called Indians and now they're not. Yay, America's great.
Right.
And he said, you know, that's what I learned in public school back right. in the 80s. And when I went to college, I learned from additional perspectives. And
sure.
I think everybody has perspective. Like with our show, we try to get people like yourself who are doing stuff that's really interesting and kind of positive, because I listen to some of these other podcasts and they're just depressing. Mm-hmm. You know, these people are being put into prison unfairly. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that sucks, mm-hmm. you know, and it's really bad. But sometimes I want to listen to stuff that's not just all the world sucks and we're all going to die.
Well, and a lot of my stories are not really happy stories. I mean, people die. But so to address a couple of things, as far as Jackson zeroing out the bank, that's one of the reasons why I do this, because that creates an excellent question for teachers out there. Did Jackson really win the bank war? Why and why not, for instance? But you said a couple of things. I mean, honestly, like, one of the main reasons why I do this show is because people like you, I mean, you want to talk about Native Americans and Aborigines, everything that you had to do to fight for, and all the personal battles that you had to come up, because there was something in you and you just would not give up. That is what I'm talking about. This is the great ingenuity of Americans, and one of the reasons why I can really appreciate you and so many thousands of people just like you. So thank you.
One thing that I think is really important about history, because sometimes people say, well, what does history matter? You know, it's not dates and times, places, what we talked about already so far. It's not just that. But, you know, the importance of understanding what happened in the past and the importance of the ways that that shapes the future. And how do you take that approach when you look at history?
Well, dates and times are boring. I was horrible in history when I was in high school. Don't tell my kid this. But
I was too. I used to say, they're all dead.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Right. And you don't necessarily have to focus so much on the date and times, but on the flip side, it is important to know how we got to where we are today. Because, see, one of humanity's flaws is trying to get somewhere, not knowing where we came from, and as a result, we just kind of wind up going in circles and repeat our mistakes from the past. So, in that regard, aside from actual times and dates and people's names, history is important because it gives us a base.
No. And what do you hope that the listeners of your show, or, you know, who listen to your podcast, what do you hope that they take away from it?
I want them to come to the comment board with their opinion on everything that they talked about. What do they think of the Marshall Plan? How would they change the Affordable Care Act? How would Nixon's presidency have turned out if it weren't for Watergate? What is your favorite thing about George Washington, both as a president and a general? I can tell you that mine as a general is probably Valley Forge. As a president, Washington had this uncanny ability to know when to become confident and when to express his humility. And that humility made him, as the first American president, set the stage as far as not having a king in charge. How would you have handled the Nazis if you're FDR? I mean, or Vietnam if you're Eisenhower? So all these things and more. This is what I ask out of my listeners.
So are most of your listeners kids listening in classrooms? Or are they just people like me who are listening to it walking home from work? Or do you have an idea?
I don't. I really don't. Because I don't really pay a whole lot of money to get actual I guess, details on the people who are downloading my show. I got a quick story about, I had a listener in Europe, of all places, who had this 12-year-old girl who was my biggest fan. And he is the owner of a company called Suit Supply. And he took me in his private plane last year to go around the country. And when he approached me with this idea, I said, this is crazy. I'm just an IT guy with a microphone in my backyard, you know, in a tool shed. And I'm really not a history teacher. He says, yes, you are. And I said, no, you don't understand. I've never done this before. He said, get in the plane. I said, okay, great. And so I met his daughter and his son, and she was completely enamored by me. And she really, I think she changed my life forever, because the way that she would just look at me and just like, who would have thought that a small girl who barely speaks any English would be interested in a history podcast, for heaven's sake. But there I was on their plane discussing the Civil War and the Revolution and Andrew Jackson and all these other things.
So if you have a private plane and you like More Than Ordinary, Marie and I, we could be available to talk right. about
anything. Within limits.
Right.
Well, and it depends. Actually, we know people have private planes that are kind of sketchy, so it depends. That's not an open offer. We'll have to vet you.
We'll be right back after this.
You can be too successful.
How so?
Our latest games have parents suggesting we get endorsements from YouTube celebrities, have professional gamers stream us on Twitch. They point out where we aren't the virtual reality level of Call of Duty.
Yet.
The point is, our games are so much more, well, game-like than the average educational games that people forget that what you really should be comparing these games to are math worksheets.
Yeah, I mean, you can have your kids sit down and do math workbooks for 20 minutes, if you can even get them to do that. Or you can let them play Fish Lake, which they'll probably ask you to let them keep playing after 20 minutes.
Or you can play yourself. You know you are never going to pick up one of those workbooks again for the rest of your life. Still, do you remember how to reduce fractions to lowest terms, multiply and divide fractions?
If not, play Fish Lake before Mia or Connor or Aiden or Joe gets home from school and asks for your help with their homework. Welcome back to More Than Ordinary, presented by Seven Generation Games. I'm Maria Burns-Ortiz.
And I'm still Anne Maria DeMars. And we still have with us our amazing guest,
Joseph DeCristoforo, with Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson.
And so we were talking before about kind of the broad range of topics and how you pick them. But my big question, too, is how do you condense it down to 4 or so minutes?
It's not easy. And it takes a lot of editing. But I work my way through it. You know, I could really go on and on about a certain thing, but I just knowing when it gets to a certain point where this is where I need the audience's feedback. I want to know what everybody else thinks.
So do you get a lot of feedback? Do you have random people walk up to you? Because I have this happen to me, and I'm surprised. The number of people that download our podcast that will just come and say, I listen to your podcast, and it'll be like the guy parking my car at the valet. Does that happen to you? It's just
no, I don't ever actually run into people on the street. In fact, on my website, I don't get as much feedback as I'd like to, but I do get some, and it's all organic, which is great, because in the beginning it was all just friends and family, and so I'm just happy it grew out of that.
He doesn't get random people. He gets people with private planes.
Oh, that's right.
He gets non-random people. Well, so that's the funny thing to me is we don't get a lot of email, and we don't get a lot of comments on the website. We get a few, but then when we look and see the downloads, we could see that thousands of people download it, and the people that I run into will say, oh, I listen to your podcast, but they never write, they never email, they just mm-hmm. would say something if I like happen to be giving a talk at a conference or a seminar or something like that. So they're not totally random. They're people who actually knew who I was because my name was on the PowerPoint slide or something, but it still surprises me.
Well, you know, it's funny because the media has changed so much since I started out in radio. Back then, of course, we just had radio and TV and movies and newspaper, and that was about it. But now, I mean, I can go on Zillow and spend $35 and promote a house I'm trying to sell, and that's going to reach 10,000 people. So does that make that house famous? No, of course not. But I know so many people are on Spotify, and I don't know the names of them, but there's so many different ways. It's not just iTunes anymore. And I am knowing more and more people of all age groups who are continuing to listen to more and more podcasts. So the numbers that you might be seeing from iTunes may not necessarily reflect all your downloads.
Yeah, as a former radio guy, what do you think about that? I mean, having seen that, you know, evolution, I guess, from radio to now podcast. Just what's that been like from that perspective?
Well, I've always said I'm just another idiot with a microphone and a tool shed. So just proving that if I can do this, anybody can do this.
And I love the fact that's a real tool shed, because I listened to you your podcast and I thought, because we're actually, well, Diana took a picture. We're actually at the 12th floor at 4th and Wilshire, so we're not in a tool shed. But now I just feel so uncool.
But I do hear a lot of people in podcasting saying that they literally go into their closet because it creates the best acoustics.
We had a sound guy who would do that. He was did all the sound effects for us when we were starting out. And yeah, he would say, yeah, I go into the closet. It's the best thing because then the clothes absorb all the other noise and things. Mm-hmm. And we tried it once in her closet, but it was really, really hot. And it's hard to have guests.
Not very comfortable.
I think we should do that again, though. Just for old time's sake. Who could?
But people might be asking questions as you walk out the door, too.
What? And here's my other question. So we're talking about history. And one of the things, because we do, I mean, our games, we have a historical storyline throughout. And one of the things that I would say borderline obsessed with is making sure that sources are right. And this probably comes from my background as a journalist and having been a teacher, where it's like, you can't just trust everything you read on the internet. I know that's shocking. But where do you find your sources, and how do you know that they're good sources, or how do you determine that?
All over the place. And that's why I'm quick to quote references. Because I'm not the one who's saying this. I am the one who's saying that this person over here said that. And I never said if it was true or not, if this is according to so-and-so. But, I mean, obviously with basic statements, Washington was the first president. Obviously, I don't need to, you know, cite everything.
So we heard that you drive your family insane with all the research you do. Would you like to defend yourself, sir?
Constantly.
So do you have any favorite sources? Is there, like, I'm not a historian, I'm a statistician, so is there, like, Bob Smith's Book of History or something?
Whitehouse.gov and other .gov websites is my main go-to, but of course, they're just going to gloss over the story and not actually tell you the details about it, so that's when I have to look into the sources. What's great about Wikipedia is that I, instead of quoting Wikipedia directly, I will actually go to the reference that they are referencing and saying so-and-so said that according to Wikipedia. Yeah, that is a very long list.
Well, and that's what I used to say, because I taught journalism, so I'd say don't use Wikipedia as your source, but it is a great, like you said, a great landing page to direct you to all these other sources. Although, once I saw something, and I guess it was on the internet, so it doesn't make it 100% true, but it did say that Wikipedia is as factually accurate as Encyclopedia Britannica, because you have the being constantly updated and people putting in that information. So I don't know if that part's true, but I definitely know that it is, like you said, a great place to go and say, okay, well, what's the source there? Oh, okay, and then you go and find where it actually came from.
And I could say, as a statistician, actually the statistics section of Wikipedia, I don't know who edits it, obviously, because it's done anonymously, but it's super well done.
That's why I give, every time when they go, give us a dollar or whatever,
yeah,
I do give them.
You give them the 99 cents, that's perfect.
Exactly.
I give them more than that, because I'm not a cheapskate.
Right.
I think I gave them $3 last time. You're welcome, Wikipedia. I had a question about podcasting and getting started. What is one thing when you were starting out that you know now that you wish you'd known then? What's one evolutionary tip that you've pulled along the way?
Well, I ran into a big situation because I included music beds underneath my recording. And that would turn out to be a big no-no. And I had literally done 365 days of that. And then I was on a podcast show and the guy told me, he said, this is illegal, you can't do this. Luckily, I had all my rough drafts, so I had to start all the way back over and just and kind of go through them and pull the music out. But and it's too bad because I learned a couple things from that. And in a way, it allowed me to emphasize more of what I'm talking about, so the music actually didn't take away from the point. So there really was kind of a silver lining in that cloud. But at the same time, there are a lot of stories where you really just kind of, the music makes it, so, gives that oomph that the story really needs.
You might want to consider doing a shout out on your show and asking if there are musicians that would give you music that you could use. I was doing a workshop on the Fort Berthold Reservation. This gentleman who's a musician and somewhat well-known came up and said, I really like the games you're doing. I really like your work. Here's some of my CDs. Use anything you want in your games. And so we're going to be taking some of his music and putting it in there. So there, you may find people who are both musicians and history buffs that would let you do that. So you might want to just mention
I'd like that. And especially talking about the Wild West. I always liked the song Blaze of Glory by John Bon Jovi, and I'm talking about Billy the Kid. Well, I wrote to Bon Jovi a couple of years ago and, of course, never heard back from his publicist, so I would definitely be interested in something else.
All right, well, we have a lot of interesting guests on our podcast, and I was thinking we had Terry Alouse, who's the singer from Great White. And yeah, I will send him an email and connect you guys up. And maybe he does a lot of these days on his own, like Spanish flamenco music and different things. So yeah, he might be willing to let you do some stuff. He's got a daughter who's 10. So, you know, anything that promotes kids' academics. He was on here and I said, you know, you're kind of the counter to the typical sex, drugs, and rock and roll. You know, you're really involved with your dad. You're really involved in sports. And he goes, well, there's no drugs, but I still have sex because I'm still French.
That's awesome.
We'll be right back.
Did you know that 92% of U.S. homes have a computer? Yes. Yes, they do. And 43% of homes have a child under 18. Why aren't more kids playing educational games on those computers? Because they suck. The educational games, not the kids. Until now, download Spirit Lake or Fish Lake. Check out Forgotten Trail or Making Camp with no download required. All of our games are under $10, teach math and social studies. Let your child play on a real computer and learn real-life math. If you're on Steam, be the coolest aunt, uncle, big brother, or sister on the block and download Fish Lake. The little rugrat can play on your computer, learn fractions, and you can get some peace while you talk on the phone to Vin.
Welcome back to our third and final segment of More Than Ordinary, presented by Seven Generation Games. I'm Maria Burns-Ortiz.
And I'm Anne-Marie DeMars, and we still have our guest now in the hot seat.
Joe DeCristoforo, Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson.
So one of the things we do for every podcast, and which seems to be many of our listeners' favorite part, is we ask our guests to give us a tip, and it can be on anything. You know, we've had people give us investing advice, dating advice, just career advice, life advice. So this is your chance. If you had one tip to tell people, what would your tip be?
Don't ever give up your dreams, your aspirations, your hopes. I heard somebody using an analogy one time. When we're all learning how to walk as toddlers, there isn't one of us who thought to ourselves when we plopped down on our butt, you know, maybe this walking thing isn't for me. Maybe I'm just not cut out for it. No, of course not. We kept going. We kept falling. I mean, if you get a flat tire, it'd be the same like getting rid of all three tires just because one tire is flat because it didn't work the first time. Keep going. So that's my big tip. Don't ever give up on your hopes and dreams.
Since we have a couple minutes left, I want to follow up on that. And that is, has there ever been times when you questioned that? You know, when you were totally broke or you felt like nobody was listening to your podcast? Or how do you keep going when you feel like giving up? Or are you one of those amazing people that never felt like that?
Of course. Failure is kind of a big part of life, and I've experienced a lot of that. And that's, you can't succeed until you fail. So, I mean, for most of us anyway. And getting up to the podcast point, my career in radio really didn't add up to anything. In fact, because I was meeting a lot of people who were from a lot of other places. And I didn't think that going over to Kentucky or Jacksonville or Seattle because I had to be a country DJ or an alternative easy listening DJ was really my thing. And I was meeting a lot of these people. And it just, there's no stability around it. To me, that was a huge failure because as a kid, all I ever wanted to do is radio. But I stuck with it. And as I said, it morphed into the internet, which seems to be the go-to place for a lot of people of all ages. So, and here we are, sitting with you lovely ladies. And I really couldn't be happier or more honored.
Yeah, I know what you mean, because when I was a journalist, like that's what I thought my whole goal was going to be, and then I got there, and it was cool, but to come to the realization that maybe the thing that you had set to be your life goal wasn't the end goal, and kind of transferring that into the next thing, but I think that's kind of a fun, so I mean, there's moments where you're like, oh my God, what have I gotten myself into, how am I shifting over here, but it's also kind of a fun way then to get a chance to start all over again.
To that, I'd say when you're setting these things up, there's going to be endless points where you think to yourself, this is crazy. If I do this, people are going to listen, and they might actually have something to say about it. That's right. Keep going. Just do it.
Well, that is great advice. So now can you tell our listeners, how would they find you? Where would they find your podcast, your website? Did I just search on iTunes? Where do I go?
The website is joesdailyushistorylesson.com. There's a multiple choice quiz on there that might have one of the most extensive presidential quiz that I have ever seen. So if somebody wants to challenge me on that, then you're more than welcome to do so. I want to hear all about it.
And then the podcast is at iTunes, Google Play. Where is that? What sites is it through?
Well, I know that if you go to iTunes and if you search for U.S. history, the marquee should show up with my banner and you should be able to access it from there.
Okay, and we'll put some direct links on our website as well.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to the More Than Ordinary podcast.
For more information, please go to our website, 7GenerationGames.com. And that's 7 as in the number 7, GenerationGames.com.
If you'd like to learn more about math and history, or increase your vocabulary while at the same time having fun, you can purchase our games at 7GenerationGames.com/buy.
You can also donate and help a much-deserving student.
And as always, please tell a friend and don't forget to rate us on iTunes.
It's never too late to be more than ordinary.